Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 8. Would you hear the reading of God's Word? Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is to Elijah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. And after this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up to the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourned by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein." Please pray with me again. Father, teach us by this your word. Give us your encouragement. Let us experience your transforming power, we pray, in the name of the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I like Elijah, but I must admit it's easier for me to identify with someone like Gideon than with someone like Elijah. If you're like me, I do have good news, though. I think that even if we don't feel like Elijah or identify with Elijah, there are things that we can learn from Elijah. And as a matter of fact, in this passage, at least, I think we might find we have more in common with Elijah than we ever suspected. The first thing that ought to get our attention is God's direction to an unlikely place. That's my summary. We might read this as just a lesson in geography. He had been at the brook at Cherith, and he had lived there where the ravens had fed him, and then the brook dried up because of the famine. There was a famine in the land, and so now God directs him from this place to which he had directed him earlier, now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. And we read that, okay, Sidon, that's over kind of close to the Mediterranean. It's a little ways away, and geography, that's not my favorite subject, so I won't give much attention to that. But I want to give a little bit of attention. I want you to understand, first of all, it's not Israel. Sidon was not a part of Israel. There were no, it was not a place ruled by the Israelites or inhabited by the Israelites. That's the first thing, an unlikely place. The second thing is, in time of famine, and actually the famine had gotten worse, the circumstances had worsened, God sends Elijah to a place where he will give him provision, and he sends him to this widow in Zarephath. Now, widows had limited opportunities in that day, in that culture. If he was going to send Elijah somewhere to be where he would find provision, that would be the least likely place. A widow, a non-Israelite widow in the time of famine, but that's exactly where God sends Elijah. I think we ought to ponder and make some application. Is it possible that God still gives His people directions to unlikely places? I imagine most of you have sought God's leading in regard to needs or some issues in your life where you were seeking His answer, His direction, and it seemed that an answer came. An answer to your prayer, an answer through circumstance, an answer through the counsel of others. And it seemed that this is something that God was giving to you, but it didn't quite fit. And you were tempted to say, maybe first of all, God, are you sure you haven't gotten your messages crossed up? And I accidentally got the message that you were going to send to someone else. And then you think, well, no, God is not like the post office. He doesn't get messed up. And maybe the next thing that comes to your mind, I know what comes to my mind sometimes is, God, are you kidding? Are you kidding with me? Are you pulling my leg? Have you ever had an experience like that? When it seemed not only we think that God will give us answers that might stretch our faith, and that's okay. But some of them just are so puzzling. And we think, are you kidding? Maybe we want to be alone because of circumstances and heart conditions. We just want to withdraw. We need to get away. And we bring that before God. And God sends us somebody that's lonely and needs our time and attention. And we're saying, God, hey, whoop, whoop. That's not what I need. That's not the answer I was looking for. Or perhaps we're feeling hurt and wounded, and we need comfort. And instead, God sends us someone who is seeking comfort from us. And we say, wait a minute, God, how about me? I needed that. I'm hurting. This isn't the answer I expected. Or maybe you've experienced unexpected expenses. And you say, God, I don't know how we're going to manage this. Can you send me some unexpected provision? And instead, there's something else that breaks down. Or some other cut back in your job hours. And you say, oh, God, not what I was looking for, God. Not what I was looking for. You can supply your own scenarios. I've just given a couple of, I guess, somewhat silly examples. But you can supply your scenario. The idea is that sometimes God seems to be leading to the place that is least likely to produce the results that you want and need. Of course, it may be that God's provision, His provision, has a somewhat different goal than what you expected. And so sometimes He does lead us to an unlikely place. Of course, Elijah is not the only person in the story. As soon as we meet the widow, we have what I'm calling a difficult demand of faith. Elijah comes to the woman, he meets this woman, and he asks her for food. And do you hear her desperate answer? She says, I have just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and the reason I'm out is I'm gathering these sticks so I can go home. I'm just gathering a few sticks. No use to gather a lot of sticks because I've only got enough for one last meal. Hear the desperation? And I'm going to fix that meal for my son and myself. And then we're going to die. Now that's pretty stark stuff. I characterize it as desperation. I think she would say, hey, this is a realistic view. This is where we are. And we expect, or maybe we would expect, a little sympathy and encouragement from Elijah. And his reply, I think, is somewhat surprising. He says, well, you go and you do that. But don't be afraid. God's going to provide. You go and you do that. But first make something for me. And then God will provide. God will give you a continuation of your flour, your meal, your oil. And it will continue on until the famine is over. Now, I want to ask you, if you were in that woman's situation, what would you have heard? I don't know. This may be just a man thing, but sometimes, I don't think I'm giving away any secrets. Sometimes men start listening and then they click off. Did any of you women, have you ever noticed that when men can kind of click off to the list? Oh, well, maybe you don't have problems like my wife. But I admit, I click off. I think we all can do that. Men are just more prone to it than women. Maybe women here are just too nice to say it about their husbands. But anyway, that sort of thing happened. This is what I picture as a man. She hears Elijah say, you go and take the last little bit that you have for you and your son. And instead of making a meal for you and your son, you make it for me. And then, of course, he said some other things. But here's what I think. She heard that first thing, and all of the rest of it was pretty much blah, 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 blah. I'm going to give the last meal that I was going to give to my child to you? But she really did hear. She really did hear. But isn't that a difficult demand of faith? I think it's important to focus on this and to see what she does. She does what he says. You know, it's a question. It's not like, well, I'd like for you to add this to something you could do sometime during the next month when everything works out and it fits in. It's like, no, this is what you must do first. This is what you must do next. It moves to the front of the row, and she did it. That's remarkable. That's a difficult demand of faith. Now, I guess I should step back theologically, so to speak, because we like to emphasize that salvation is by faith alone, not by works. We're justified not by our works, but by grace through faith. And that's important. But the scripture also talks about faith being demonstrated by what we do. What happens when God makes a difficult demand of your faith? It may not be using the last little bit of food that you have in your pantry. And it may not come through a prophet like Elijah. It could come through his word. It could come through your prayer life. Often it comes through friends or circumstances, but you know that God is making a difficult demand. Maybe it's something like forgiving someone, or maybe asking for forgiveness, or maybe letting go of bitterness or resentment, or serving someone, or witnessing to someone, or dealing with some habits that have been a part of your life for a long time. Sometimes the changes can be gradual, or sometimes, though, it can be a call for us to take a first step and to do that first. Sometimes there are questions of procedures and methods and motives and ordering various things. But sometimes it's clear to us God won't allow it to get out of our mind that He wants us to do this next. Even worse than that, sometimes that God wants us to do this now. That's hard. That's hard. It's a matter of responding to God's leading. And sometimes, though we may have many things going on in our lives, God is focusing on some particular thing. Have you ever had that happen? What did you do? What are you doing now? Now, you know that the widow believed, and you know that the results went according to what Elijah said. And you might think, okay, we've got to da-da-da-da-da. Everything is good. And she gives him the food, and then miraculously there's some more meal and some more oil, and she makes a meal for her son and herself. And the next day she gets up, and it's back again. And she makes another and another, and this goes on for a number of days, and she begins to see a pattern here. And we call this daily provision. All right? Daily provision. And when you hear that phrase, those words, daily provision, do you get a positive or a negative thought in your mind? I think most of us get a positive thing, at least at the outset. We think, well, that's good, God's daily provision. He took care of her, you know, day by day, daily provision. He took care of all of her needs. Hey, isn't that what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. That's a wonderful thing that God gives us a daily provision. But I want you to think just a step beyond this. And maybe I'm telling you more about me. Maybe I'm telling you more about me than you want to know. But I think I may not be the only one. When you really analyze this, there is more to it than what immediately meets the eye. And see if this isn't true with anyone else. Again, I try to put myself in that situation. And I would have been delighted if I were that widow. And it was like, oh, I've got more food. And the next day I've got more food. But you know, after a couple of days, I know exactly what I would do. And I suspect that there might be one or two others. So I'm going to share it with you. You know what I would have said to Elijah? Elijah, this is great. Really thankful, really grateful, really enjoying this. But I got this little teeny suggestion. Do you think you could pray to God and He would put 2 days worth of oil in the jar and meal? Or if while you're at it, if you just go ahead and give us a week's worth. Only one who thinks like that. But I'd like to have just a little more cushion than daily provision. Am I the only one? Well, you think about it. We like to have some cushion. We like to know how things are. And that's particularly true of me because I'm a planner. And it's like, okay, God, I'd like you to get in line with my planning and provide, you know, on out there a little ways. And I'll feel better about that. I'm thankful for your daily provision, but since you're going to provide day by day anyway, could you just go ahead and get it out ahead of time? It would still be daily provision. You would just have it kind of lined up. I like that. I like that. Do you understand the issue? We feel more secure if provision are in our hands rather than in God's hands. Did you hear that? We feel more secure if they're in our hands and if they're in God's hands. How crazy is that? Do you think that you're better in holding on to provisions than God is? There's so many things there involved in that. In our thinking, in our feeling, in our past experiences, and in contingency. There's so many things that impinge upon that. Daily provision can be a hard thing. Remember Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount? He talks about birds and flowers. But really, the issue is to rest secure in our Father's care instead of worrying. Do you worry? Are you grasping for money or things? Are you concerned about paying medical bills? Or what's going to happen to children and grandchildren? Or to yourself when you get sick or get old? What happens when God tells us to trust Him for daily provision? You know, He does tell us that. To trust Him for daily provision. How are you doing with that? You see, it's more than just what's in your refrigerator or in your cupboard. It's all of life. And then, quickly, dreadful developments. After the happy provision, what happened? I call it the dreadful development. You know the story, so I don't have to go through it again. Everything's going along fine. God is providing, and the bottom drops out. The son dies. And so the woman, if she was desperate before, it seems she's devastated now. She goes to Elijah and she said, You came here. Let me give you the words. What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance. Why have you done this? Why are you against me? Why have you done this terrible thing? My son is dead. I take it that it was completely unexpected to the woman and to Elijah. Dreadful developments. Have you ever experienced circumstances that were devastating and beyond your understanding? I want you to see that these kind of things, these disappointments, suffering, tribulation can come to people who believe in God, who are doing what God wants them to do, and they are exactly where God wants them to be. As far as we can tell, this woman believed the word of God through the prophet. She was continuing to do what God wanted her to do. She was believing in God, doing what God wanted to do and where she wanted to be. And in spite of all of that, devastating circumstances came. God's people are not immune from suffering and heartache. And in some regards, I at least think they may be more mindful of the hurts and the suffering and the tribulations of this world because they've had a taste of God's grace. That's what happened here. And now you're already ahead of me because you know the dramatic blessing that comes. Elijah prays and the boy is restored. God sometimes gives us exactly what we want. And in this case, He did. In a dramatic way, Elijah comes and he prays and the little boy's life was restored. But by way of application, I should tell you, sometimes he doesn't. You know, David and Bathsheba's first son died, even though David fasted and prayed on his behalf. Peter was freed from prison because the church prayed for him. But James, another one of the inner three in the story that just goes before Peter, was arrested by the same ruler, probably put in the same jail, and he was executed. As one of the inner three, think of how much he would have had to share. What if we had had a gospel of the Apostle James? Think of what he would be able to do if he were to go to some place and tell of his experience with Jesus. Do you not think the church was praying for James? I just don't understand when things happen like that. Peter freed from jail by an angelic messenger, James executed. God's blessings and God's answers are not always what we expect. But don't lose sight of the most dramatic blessing. It isn't this little boy's death and resurrection, but the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the proof of His love and His good purposes. You may have sicknesses and sorrows and suffering and confusion, but is it more important that we have our present circumstances, questions, circumstances fixed and present questions answered, or eternal satisfaction in Jesus Christ? You know the right answer to that. But the emotions, the relationships, the physical aspects, the heart matters are so much wider and deeper. What issues do you have in your life? How is God directing you in Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave Himself for you? It's not always easy, is it? We don't always have a simple, clear-cut answer. Sometimes God gives answers that make us say, "Are you kidding?" But because of Jesus Christ, we know His purposes and we see His grace. what's happening in your life. How is God working in those different ways and different levels? Probably 200 different situations, or however many there are here, 230. But God knows everyone. God is guiding. God is providing. God has grace. God's steadfast love will never stop. Pray with me. Father, help us see your leading. Help us to see your grace in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are our loving Heavenly Father through Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Would you stand and by faith receive God's blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. Amen.